Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Character Show. It's an exciting day. It's a great day. People in the heart of Lincoln have, no pun intended, have big hearts, and they truly care about this community. All right. Every minute that goes by, people are being generous or making contributions. They're helping out. Give to Lincoln today. Give to Lincoln Day. Again, today is Give to Lincoln Day. Donate now at givetolincoln.com. Type in Matt Talbot in the search and choose your destination. Our donation level, Matt Talbot Kitchen and Outreach's mission is to relieve hunger, overcome homelessness, address addiction, and provide outreach and advocacy in Lincoln. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here all day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Matt Talbot Kitchen Outreach, just north of 27th and Holdridge. Feel free to stop by to make a donation or do so online. If you donate, please text the text line at 402-464-5685, and we will gladly shout you out. If you stop by in person, donate. We'll have giveaways for College World Series tickets, Lincoln Salt Dog tickets, restaurant gift certificates, and much, much more. And they can give you a tour. We'll announce winners on Friday. Give to Lincoln.com. Search for Matt Talbot and donate today. All right. The total keeps going up. Where are we at as of now, Austin?
We are slightly higher in the $241,000 range.
That is awesome. All right. Keep texting in. Keep walking. We just got a walk-in donation here. Actually, can you give it to Jake Sorensen?
Shout out Doug Gann.
Yes, absolutely. Who's actually been on our show before. We've chatted with him before. Great dude. All right, my man. You had a thought on why the 16-team playoff may actually better with a slight too gigantic alteration, but go ahead.
The slight too gigantic alteration would be the no play-in games.
Okay.
That would be if it's just conference championship games. I know a lot of people like those. Mm-hmm. TV partners probably like those. Conferences like those. So my thought is, I mean, you know that those two teams that are playing in those games, at least for the Power Four, are in anyways.
Yep.
For the most part, Big Ten SEC for sure, Big 12 ACC depends on the year. But for everyone else in the conference, you get your 12-game regular season and that's it. You don't have a pre-qualification round. You get your five automatic qualifiers, okay. Four power conferences, group of five, and then the 11 wild cards. Two of those will be Big Ten SEC number two for sure.
So no automatic qualifiers outside of the
Top five.
Okay.
Correct.
You like that 5-11. You keep coming back.
I do.
You're
going to
end up with 83 SEC teams in, man. I'm telling you.
Do you hate the NCAA tournament basketball for that reason? The baseball tournament added, like, what, three or four non-Power Four conference teams?
I love college sports. I love college sports. I do not pay attention to the regular season outside of Nebraska in baseball, softball, basketball, as much as I do football, and it's not even close. Not until the tournament or playoffs or something like that, and I don't think I'm alone in that.
So I guess my question for you is, are you worried that last year's Illinois team gets left out for South Carolina? Are you worried that Indiana would have gotten left out for Ole Miss?
I'm going to be honest with you.
For example.
We've gone into waters that I would rather not be in to begin with because I would cut it off at eight. Why are we debating teams who've lost a quarter of their game? Who gives a crap? Like, I don't want to say who gives a crap. Who gives a crap?
Greg Sankey.
The people who need and or want to make more money. That's who. To me, if you lose over two games, there was one year, I know the year, it was 2017, Auburn played like the number three team in the country like three times, two more top five teams, and they had three losses. They were in the top eight, and I had no problem with it. By the way, that was the year UCF beat them in the Peach Bowl. Right. That's why I know it so well, but go ahead.
No, that's just the thing, is that strength of schedule has to matter. Who you play has to matter. But to your point, winning games has to matter. At the end of the day, we want winning teams. We want winning football at the end of the year. And I think that the more automatic berths, automatic qualifiers you give out, the less incentive teams have in the regular season.
So I could argue the opposite. So with the 16-team playoff, that you proposed with no play-in games. The only caveat I have to it is the conference championship weekend. It's always bothered me that everybody else is just sitting home who might be in the national title conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one year that was it 11? I think it was 2011. Alabama lost on their home field 9-6 to LSU. Mm-hmm. LSU, okay, wins the SEC title, gets into the national title game. And I forget who everybody was projecting them to play. It was
Oklahoma State.
It was
Brandon Weeden.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they lose in the championship game. Alabama sitting at home on their butt, eating mama's Christmas cookies, slides into number two, gets into the national title game, mm-hmm. and had a rematch with another SEC team, a team they'd already lost to on their home field. And I hated
it. And
that.
They won it.
I think every, yes, they won it 21-0. LSU never even got past
midfield.
I about said midcourt. Yeah, but midfield. And so I hated that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I want everybody who has a chance to play in the playoff or play for a national title to play on championship weekend in some way, shape, or form, which is why I actually am. It's one of the few times I would advocate for more college football. This is going to sound weird. I like college football, but sometimes more becomes less, more just dilutes. And so I've always kind of had that mindset, but I'm telling you right now, if we're going to do a conference championship game and weekend, everybody who's in that conversation can't be sitting at home. They need to be playing as well, which is why I actually like the playing game.
Okay. So let's take this a step further then. Do you remember what the Big Ten did in 2020? The last week of the year, quote unquote, champions week, they had the conference championship game and then they matched up across divisions.
So, you know, I've talked about that for years. Then all of a sudden they did it. Yes.
You could schedule 11 regular season games, 3 non-con, yes. 8 conference. And then what you do is either you break back into divisions and play the team in the same position in the standings as you in your own conference.
On the other division.
Yes. Or Big Ten and SEC. Play this person in the same spot as you in the standings to try to improve.
So for years, first of all, I don't hate divisions because right now the strengths of schedule within conference are so drastically different. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so in divisions, everybody plays the same teams within their same division, the strength of, and you can try to balance them out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Nobody cares about geography anymore anyways. So as much as we mocked Legends and Leaders, that was because of the name. But the fact that Penn State and Nebraska were going to play every year wasn't a bad thing because Michigan mm-hmm. Ohio State play every mm-hmm. year. Keep in mind, Nebraska was winning more games back then. Hopefully we get back to that as well. That is the plan anyways. But if you've got divisions, now everybody's playing relatively the same strength of schedule. So if you're first in your division, you play first in the other division. If you're second in your division, you play second in the other division. You know, I actually talked about that on my show I used to do in mm-hmm. D.C., Fourth and Payne. Then they did it in 2020. When you asked me, you remember what the Big Ten did in 2020? My first thought was, no, I tried to blank out that entire year. But then it dawned on me. But then they didn't keep doing it.
Right.
But I don't hate that. Okay.
And I think in the Big Ten, too, you look at 18 teams, breaking into 2 9-team divisions.
Yep.
Whether it's geographical East-West, whether it's Legends Leader style like the initial Big Ten, doesn't really matter. But you play those 8 teams in your division once. There's 8 conference games. If you want to play 9 conference games, boom, there's your crossover with the other division.
I have no
or
problem with that
the Big Ten
all.
Goes down to 8 conference games like the SEC and says, okay, we'll schedule a late season matchup at, you know, maybe it's rotating years. Maybe you pick, you know, 6 or 7 different neutral sites to play these games at. And then you match up across conferences with the same.
Dude,
same
I don't hate that. First of all, it should be uniform scheduling across the board. It's how it should be. It should be taken out of the hands of the people in charge of the schools. Like, why is it so hard to have 9 conference games? Then you have your crossover game at the end if you're in the championship game mm-hmm. or 2 versus 2, East versus West division, whatever you would call them, all the way on down. There's 10. Then you play 1 Power 4 conference non-conference team, and then mm-hmm. you can do your G5 or FCS. I would never play FCS schools personally, but G5 or whatever you want to do with that 12th game. But that's not the topic of the day, but why is it so hard to make it uniform across the board? But here's what I'll tell you. If you're not going to go divisions, first of all, the divisions could be much more equal in the Big Ten if you went east and west because USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon have now joined. Mm-hmm. And so now what was the West, which was honestly the worst division in any power conference for years, which is part of what frustrated me about not winning more games and winning it more often, is much more difficult with these other schools that have joined. So you could just go east and west or however you want to balance it out. So that would be my only caveat. And I like mm-hmm. the 16-team model that you proposed because now – you can't reward play-in game losers and put them in. So if you get rid of play-in games, my only issue is I think everybody needs to play that final weekend, okay?
Sure.
So if you go to what's being proposed right now, all right, and what seems realistic, you got a Notre Dame problem to begin with. So Notre Dame does not have to play on conference championship game weekend. Mm-hmm. Then they essentially could earn a first round bye. All right. Especially the 12 team model. So they could, everybody else could have played 14 games and they would be sitting there with 12, which, by the way, I think actually hurts them once they finally do play. All right. But I thought Joel Klatt had a great idea. Oh, well, before we get to Joel Klatt's idea, DP, before he walked out of the room, he goes, I know how to fix the playoff. I was like, all right, what you got, DP? He goes, take all the conference champs, and then whatever remaining spots you have left, take all the head coaches and put them in a ring and go at it Royal Rumble style. And whoever's left standing, their team gets in. And instantly I was like, with all due respect to Matt Rhule, I think Brock Lesnar would immediately become Nebraska football's head coach out of nowhere for no real reason. I mean, I'm just saying, who knows why that would be.
Who's your current Nebraska football Royal Rumble participant?
If I had to pick one?
Yes. If Nebraska football needs to put a coach out there.
Oh, coach. A coach.
Yes. To fight.
Oh, Corey Campbell.
Corey Campbell. Makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. Corey Campbell. If we have to take the strength coach out, it might be a little bit more interesting. Mike Eckler. Probably Mike Eckler.
Yeah.
Is who I'd probably go with. Okay. But you come back to what we were kind of talking about, Notre Dame. Joel Klatt had a great idea. He said, here's what you do.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Because technically, with the model that we've discussed, 3, 6, 4, 5, and then 1 and 2 either getting byes or playing a championship game, he goes, Ole Miss still doesn't get in. They were the 7th team in the SEC last year. My initial thought is, who cares? If you're the 7th team out of 16, who cares? Mm-hmm. But weren't they like 11th or 12? They were just outside the top 12 last year.
Yeah.
Okay, but Arizona State was lower but got in because they were conference champs. So they were right around 12th in the country. And so Joel Klatt had a great idea. He goes, Notre Dame, if you're ranked high enough, you don't get to sit home on play-in weekend. You're going to then play the highest-ranked team in America that did not qualify for play-in weekend, mm-hmm. which last year happened to be Ole Miss. And I was like, love it. Freaking love it. I love that right there.
It would have been Miami. Miami finished one spot ahead of Ole Miss.
What do you mean?
In the Week 15 college football playoff ranking, so the final ones.
Well, this is what Joel Klatt said. I'm just saying, this is what Joel Klatt said. I did not double-check Joel Klatt.
I'm just saying, according to the committee's rankings.
Even Miami.
I guess Alabama would have been there because they didn't make it.
Because Miami would have been a part of the 4-team ACC playing game.
Oh, gotcha. So yes,
it would have been LSU. Ole Miss. So even Miami, Notre Dame would have been great, but obviously mm-hmm. they'd have been playing as part of the 1-2-3-4 playing games for 1-4 versus 2-3 in the mm-hmm. ACC. So Notre Dame versus Ole Miss would have been that play-in game. So Notre Dame's not just sitting home on their butts eating Mama Christmas cookies and getting into the playoff. So I thought that was a great solution. You go to the 14-team model. You keep all the play-in games. It keeps everyone playing on the same weekend. If you want to go to divisions and you want to go, you know, the number three team from, if we have the Big Ten West versus the number three team from the Big Ten East, you can do that as well. It just hasn't been proposed. It hasn't been discussed. So I'm trying to go not with yet. I'll do that mm-hmm. in July. What I would exactly do, which, by the way, involves numerous changes to college football. But we'll get to that another day. It's what's realistic based on what's been proposed. So the 4-4-2-2-1-1 is what I prefer versus 4-4-2-2-1-3 model with 16 teams. Or I'm going to be honest with you, Austin. I am a gigantic anti-fan of 5'11 or 5'9.
I just am. I get it.
Okay. There's just too much human SEC committee bias that's going to go into that, in my humble opinion. So the reason, if you have less teams, I will say this. If you have less teams, let's say a 4-team playoff, 16 playoff, 18 playoff, which, by the way, is what I like, mm-hmm. 18 playoff, then I'm less a fan of the automatic qualifiers because now you're given opportunities to teams – who frankly aren't as good, who haven't played as tough as schedules or have way more losses to get in. And then I think you have to err towards people's opinions, conference champs. And then let's say four power conference champs, four at large spots. You have to err towards people's opinions or because you do the automatic qualifier thing. You can get some wonky team in there, kind of like what we had last year, honestly, to be real with you. But if you're going to go to 14 or 16 teams, now I want to take people's opinions out. Now I want to take the bias out that all of us have. And I want it to be as much earned on the field as possible, which is why I actually like the play-in games for the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12. Now, the only issue with the Big 12 and ACC is you don't get a true conference title game.
Yeah.
Couple of thoughts on that. No system is perfect. There's no perfect way to do this. I can poke holes in the College World Series. I can honestly poke holes in the NFL playoffs. Not in the money or view ratings they get. I can poke holes in the NBA playoffs. I can poke holes in the NCAA tournament. You can poke holes. It's what do you prefer? Mm-hmm. There's no perfect system. There is what you think is the best system. So part of that is I like 1-4-2-3 in the ACC Big 12. I just do, which means there's no conference title game. I mean, how many Big 12 ACC conference title games have been absolutely epic over the years compared to the Big 10 SEC? That's part of it. The other part is, I think it's the only way you can do it with those two conferences because they should not get more than two teams automatically in every year, in my humble opinion. So what this does is now the regular season conference games matter so much as far as trying to get into the play-in games. Now there's maximized urgency on these regular season conference games because you got to be one of the top four teams or top six in the Big Ten and SEC. And even the non-conference, once you get in, if we're going off of, I'm just saying automatically qualify for the tournament or for the tournament, the playoff. Once you're in, it's seeded though by people.
Yeah.
Okay. People have to come in at some point. So that's where your non-conference strength of schedule, which again should be uniform across the board, topic for another day, and your non-conference win loss, like who you beat, who you lost to, factors in. So you're trying to maximize everything as much as possible within the systems that seem realistic at this point in time. So I don't hate the 4-4-2-2-1-1 model with Notre Dame having to play the highest ranked remaining team in the country to try to get in. I don't hate the G5 team. I told you during break, the top two G5 teams in the country playing in to playing for that G5 spot. Now you'd have to start their season 1 week early. I don't think that's a big deal. I think it can be.
We already have week zero.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal. Boise State, do you remember who was number two last year?
Let me see if I can find it here. So Boise ended up at number 9. Then after that, it would have been Army at 11-1. UNLV then at 10-3. Memphis at 10-2.
So there's your Army thing from earlier where you mentioned Army because they were undefeated deep into the season. Then they had a couple of ugly games, but they were technically a conference champ. They were top 20. Have them play. That would be absolutely epic for that G5 spot. Okay. And then if you have a Big Ten SEC title game, so let's say it's 14 teams in a playoff. You got your 4-4-2-2-1-1 automatic qualifiers. So you take the human being element out of it as much as possible until the teams are in, then they have to use it to seed. Then you got the Big Ten SEC championship game. Now you're fighting for the top two seeds. You're fighting to get that first round bye, which is only 1 week off. And now you want it. And now it's good. And now the conference title games mean something. And so I think you've maximized the regular season as much as you can. I think you've maximized the play-in games because if you lose, you're out.
Right.
There's no safety net of all these extra at-large spots. And now the conference championship games, just by the fact that there's only two, is going to make them much more interesting. And now you get that first round bye that nobody else is going to get. To me, you've maximized everything as much as you possibly can within this revenue-making model that they're forced into, as much as I poke fun at them, okay, that they have to do, and frankly, it is what they really only care about. And I think you've done the best you can possibly do with everything, at least in my humble opinion, when you factor in the G5 play-in game, Notre Dame playing somebody, all these play-in games, conference championship games matter, regular season conference games matter. The only thing that kind of bothers me, like, let's say a 3 seed in a play-in game loses to a 6 seed. My thought is, you know what? You weren't good enough to qualify for a conference title game. It would be at all these games would be at college campuses, by the way, just until January 1st. Then I would preserve the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl as the semifinal spots. And then I would play the national title game within 10 days. So you're not playing January 22nd and competing with the NFL playoffs, which you're not going to win that battle. Mm-hmm. And you lose momentum and people kind of forget about it too. The NFL playoffs start the week after the regular season and they're hot and it's momentum. You know, the Chiefs, you probably knew this. The Chiefs and Bills had over 55 million people watch.
Ooh.
And our national championship game had about 22 million. Think about that.
22 is pretty good. Not 55, though.
It's not even half. No. But part of that is the length and distance of time between games. I mean, you had two of the top eight major brands in the country playing, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and that's all you could get. So to me, this is the model that I prefer. Notre Dame doesn't just get a cakewalk in. The G5 team, people are actually going to tune into those G5 play-in games. And you got the play-in games. The regular season matters. The conference title game matters. You can make more money. More teams get it. The only thing that – oh, the 3-6 thing I was talking about. If you're a 3-seed and you're favored and you're at home and you can't beat a 6-seed, you should have made the conference title game to begin with. But that 6-seed, there's going to be a 4-loss team that gets in at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
It just is.
Yeah.
As a Nebraska fan – as a college – let me ask you this. Two ways to answer this question. Do you like that as a college football fan, a 4-loss team eventually getting in? And do you like it as a Nebraska fan because it gives us more opportunities?
I really would have liked it when Bo Pelini was here.
Ooh, that's a great point.
It really would have, but seems like that's out the window. I mean, can you imagine that 9-4 Nebraska team that took number one Texas to the wire?
Oh, 09.
College football playoff competitor. The team the next year, 10-3, they lost to Oklahoma. They were up at 20-0, I think it was, at halftime.
Yep.
Those teams would have been in this system. So as a Nebraska fan, Nebraska has been in that position before. Do I love it? No, I still think the purest on-field way is, you know, you take the teams with the best, you know, fewest number of losses, you know, most opportunities and fewest number of losses in those opportunities. And those are probably the teams. Then you're breaking it down by strength of schedule, by all these other metrics behind the scenes. But I have no real quibbles with what you're proposing with the 14. I'd be on board.
Dude, that you remember what they did to Arizona in the Holiday Bowl that
year?
Oh,
yeah.
Dismantled
them, 33-0.
I was going to say, I knew they shut them out, 33. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? They took Texas to the wire. That was Nick Foles, Arizona, by the way, in the Holiday Bowl. Mm-hmm. They could have made some noise. All right, man, when we come back, give to Lincoln Day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pumped to be here. I'm happy to be here. Where are we at now, contributions-wise?
We have added $150 this segment.
That is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep reaching out. Please help make an impact. They're doing some awesome things here at Matt Talbin Kitchen and Outreach. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.